A strong biblical foundation is the baseline for Christian growth. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to build on principles from God's Word.
This is exactly what God is saying to us. Don't get too close to the edge. Why is it that so many Baptists want to know, how close can I get to sin and it's still okay? How much of this show can I watch? How much of this can I do? And how close can I get to the world and it's still okay? Whatever happened to the idea of let's just stay far away from it?
Spiritual discipline sounds great in theory, but putting it into practice takes time and determination. In our series, Building Below the Baseline, Pastor Chappell illustrates the importance of building the part of life that no one else sees, but God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our churches and homes today need Christians willing to build their lives on eternal truth rather than worldly trends. Our series today is designed to give us practical lessons that will help us pursue a life marked by biblical wisdom. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Building a Spirit-Filled Life.
Warren and Pat Adams lost a house in Hurricane Rita in 2005. So when they started over, they decided to reinforce their house as much as possible. They attached a 14-foot tall support beam, which would lift the house 22 feet about above normal sea level to withstand the surge. They built their foundation deeper than any of the neighbors so that when Hurricane Ike hit in 2008, it was the only house standing for miles to be seen. I just want you to stop and think about the fact that one family in the neighborhood decided that they would put their foundations twice as deep as the other families. They decided that they would raise up their pillars several feet higher than the other families. They took a little time. They spent, no doubt, a little more money. But how many of you would agree with me that when the storm came, it made all the difference? It made all the difference. I want to tell you tonight that building below the baseline will make all the difference. I want to tell you tonight that spiritual storms are coming our way and that trials and difficulties come our way. But that if we take the time, like we're doing tonight, to learn about the hidden parts of the Christian life, that when the storms come, your life will still be standing, your marriage will still be intact, you will be faithful to the things of God if you take care to build below the baseline. And so tonight, as we approach this next subject of walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, it is a part of the Christian life that no one else will see. But it is a part of the Christian life that will help you to stand against the storms that will come our way. Tonight we learn about another aspect of the heart. We learn about a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And by our own human nature, we have an innate desire to control our own lives and our own destinies. Normally, we do not want to yield to something or to someone else, as in the case of the Holy Spirit. Most of us have a very proud, autonomous spirit. Sometimes we're even told by someone in authority to do this or to do that. And we think we know better, or we have an argumentative spirit. And we understand that somewhat at the human level. But it is completely unacceptable when it comes to the commandment we're about to study tonight, when it says in the Scriptures that we're to be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we may not always have control over our circumstances or events, but we can prepare by building below the baseline in order that we might have the right response when the storms come into our life. When the spiritual hurricanes and battles of life come upon us, you'll be able to tell who had been preparing for those moments. You'll be able to tell who had that walk of prayer, who was dying to self. You'll be able to tell who was walking in the Spirit. A lot of times you don't know where someone's Christian life is, where their depth really is, until the storm comes. Now, nobody has to doubt that the Adams built a wonderful structure, a thought-out structure, a well-grounded structure. It's obvious by the fact that their house is still standing. And no one will know where your faith and mine is until the storms come into their life. And as the storms come into their life, if they're still in their Sunday school class, if they're still with their husband or wife, if they're still singing Amazing Grace, if they're still giving joy, it will be an evidence that they had something going on below the baseline before the storm ever came. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and long-suffering. And you'll always be able to tell whether someone is really building below the baseline by the way they respond when the storms come into their life. And so tonight, I want to speak to you about this matter of being filled below the baseline. Now notice in our text tonight, there is a Spirit-filled path that we must all take as believers. There is a Spirit-filled path. The Bible says in verse number 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Galatians 5:16 says it this way, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You see, by the word walk, we mean by the way one conducts their life, by the way one lives out their life. God says, "I want you to walk or live in my Spirit." Now, the path that is mentioned in verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." It is a path of caution. Here the Lord is reminding us to walk circumspectly, which means not giving occasion to stumbling. It means that we are walking with caution. Colossians 4 and verse 5, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." We must all live with the awareness that a hurricane could come at any moment. And so God is teaching us to be prepared by walking circumspectly, by walking the path of caution, and also by having a path of consecration. The Bible says in verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We must understand God's will. We must not be unwise with respect to His will. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even our sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." What a blessing to have a wonderful youth ministry here with several youth staff who work with our teens and who challenge them to walk in sanctification and to live with modesty and to live with holiness in their life. And God says that we are to know the will of God, which is our sanctification, that we would possess our vessel, our body, with sanctification and honor. And in this world, which tells young people to live as close to the edge as possible, in this world where we hear of young people playing games, such as a recent game on the internet where teenagers are dared to disappear for 24 to 48 hours from their parents without telling their parents, and in this world of Russian roulette and drinking vodka and acting out all different types of weird and dangerous behaviors, God says to His people, "I want you to stay as far away from danger as you possibly can. I want you to walk circumspectly. I want you to walk in sanctification. I want you to know how to possess your body so that your body's not out of control, but so that you are walking a spiritual pathway with your life." J. Oswald Sanders describes the Spirit-filled walk when he said, "A walk in the Spirit will of necessity be a walk in accordance with the Word the Spirit has inspired." In other words, you'll not walk in the Spirit if you're neglecting the Word of God. You will not walk in the Spirit if you're not feeding on the Word of God. Turn in your Bible, please, to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. I want to show you that no one will walk a spiritual walk if they neglect the Bible. And in this day of technology and media, if our intake is predominantly through the mediums of this world and not through the Word of God, then we're not going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to walk in the flesh. And so notice Colossians 3:16. It helps us to understand this Spirit-filled path. "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now we'll look at the second half of that verse in a moment, but notice the first portion. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Would you say that with me, please? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see, the spiritual path is a path of caution, walking circumspectly. It's a path of consecration that is redeeming the time because the days are evil, not being unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. And the will of God is our sanctification. And so in this day of fleshly living, in this day of spring break living, God says, I want my children to have a consecrated pathway for their life. Moms and dads, you ought to know who your children's friends are. You ought to know what kinds of activities they have, even in their home. You ought to understand what the types of shows and what the types of games, and you ought to know what's on your child's iPod and what's going on their phone. And so oftentimes, teenagers get into trouble today in ways that parents don't really understand, because oftentimes it's through this type of media, and we've got to do our part to make sure that they are living a consecrated, sanctified life where the Word of God dwells in them richly. May I exhort you as moms and dads, open the Word of God with your children. Give Bible principles to your children. Feed the spiritual part of their life. Feed the spiritual man. The Bible teaches us, put off the old man, put on the new man. And we've got to feed that spiritual inner man that we might walk in the Spirit. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. And so the spiritual path is quite different from the carnal path. And it is a different in that we walk circumspectly. We stay away from danger. Back at our family's farm back in Colorado, there's a lot of canyon rims. And when we get around those canyon rims, my wife for years would not let the children anywhere near them. In fact, we would drive all the way to Colorado past the Grand Canyon. I don't know how many times we went past the Grand Canyon. And I would say, honey, you want to swing over and show the kids? No way. She didn't want to go anywhere near it. We finally got to go to the Grand Canyon when all of our children were past age 16. And even then, we kind of stood and said, yep, there it is. And Terry said, let's get back in the car now. She wanted to get back in the car. Because she was walking circumspectly. She didn't want the children too close to the edge. And when we're out at the farm, don't get too close to the rim, she would say. And this is exactly what God is saying to us. Don't get too close to the edge. Why is it that so many Baptists want to know, how close can I get to sin and it's still okay? How much of this show can I watch? How much of this can I drink? How much of this can I do? And how close can I get to the world and it's still okay? Whatever happened to the idea of let's just stay far away from it? You see, walking circumspectly. Notice the spiritual path. But then notice secondly, the Spirit-filled purpose. The Spirit-filled purpose. Notice in verse 18 now, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, notice first of all that there is a determined purpose that is given to the believer here. Be not drunk with wine. Do not become intoxicated with wine. The verb here speaks of living in an ongoing state that is a state of soberness. In order to stay sober, might I suggest that you never drink in the first place. And the Bible says, be not drunk with wine. I've spoken to many people who grew up around alcoholism. And I've been told that many of these children wished that their father, who was an alcoholic, would have never taken the first drink. And there always was fear and apprehension when they saw the first drink going down on a Friday night, because they knew it would lead to another and another, and then to the loud language, and then to the hitting, and then to the abusiveness.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story.
Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.